Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We have a lot of things to go through. And I know, I realize that there's all sorts of evil and bad things that are happening. They're happening all the time. As you drive down the road, you have no idea if the people you're sharing the road with are out doing harm or are victims of abuse. We have a systemic problem in our environment, in our world, even in our nation, in our states, and in our republic. And that systemic problem is the surrendering of our liberties and how government has positioned itself to be able to take any and all of our liberties. If anybody understands how close we are for the government to try to start justifying the fact that we don't need guns, the fact that what we need and what they believe they are going to do to us because they know better, then you have to start focusing on understanding what the problems are and how to fix the problems. And this isn't that deep. This isn't that difficult. It isn't that complex. But what I'm trying to do, and over the past few days, I've been talking about the scale of liberty. I've been talking about the concepts of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, vice subjugation, and the wiring. I've talked about this a lot before. I've also talked about natural law and enlightenment. And that's kind of where we have left off. And we're going to pick that up again today. I understand that there's all sorts of things that are going down, whether it is whether it's an apartment in Pennsylvania that is under siege and the SWAT team's trying to get in and stop this guy from shooting people. I understand that people are, let's say, intrigued. People want to know, is that problem gone? I'm telling you, there's a far greater, far more evil problem that is lurking and growing. Look at China. Look at the evil of the state of China and what they are doing. If you look at what Russia's been doing and how they have been nefarious for a very long time, since they've become the communist state and since they've allowed statism out of the bottle. Now, actually, to be honest, Russia wasn't the first statist country. If you look at Otto von Bismarck was the one that created socialism. We've had monarchies. We have had despotism throughout. But we are at the pinnacle of the whole world tipping to statism, and we're being manipulated in every possible way that you can think. And so, if they can get away with it, they'll continue to do these things to get us to surrender our liberties. Look at the kids in school. Last year, their March for Life. Look at what they're going to do this year. It is only going to get worse. As Robert Higgs calls it, it's the ratcheting effect. And the hyperbole is getting greater and greater as they ratchet up what they are trying to do. So this is why this message and this solution is so critical, because this is not really rocket science. What we're doing, what we're trying to get you on board with, is calling out, as I mentioned yesterday, positive law. We have rights. Those rights were initially asserted and written on paper in the Magna Carta. We have a genetic DNA of individual rights and individual sovereignties that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, but it has taken millennia, thousands of years, for us to finally get to a point where we have created a society that has established the rights of man in a legal system to where despotism can't do what they want to do and take away our privileges and our rights that we believe we've been endowed by our Creator. I mean, these are huge leaps in humanity, and enlightenment was a huge part of that. So I want to get into all of this content that I have. So let me just kind of quickly dance through the obligatories. As you know, the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. You also know that this show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And anybody that's gone out there to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, there's a lot of content. We also point to our Mobius Strip Press page. But Reclaiming or RepublicReview.org has not been initiated. We're waiting for Wyoming, and Wyoming is getting to a point where we're probably going to be launching that page maybe in the next year. You are listening to the only show that is providing you with the solutions. And this is like ground zero for the revolution that does not need a round. We do not need to fire a shot to take back and, or I should say, secure our government within the boundaries of the Constitution and restore all of our liberties. Because the framers, based on the inspiration from the divine hand of providence, was able to create a system that had so many checks and balances in it that within that system, we have the ability to actually restore order to our constitutional republic. Now, we are going to get into Madison's property coming up, and we're also going to get into rescinding of the 17th Amendment. If you understand, if you remember my covering Madison's property, most people do not fathom what property really is. But just in a nutshell, you have rights in your property and you have property in your rights. And that's a Madison metaphor, Madison adage, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, let me move on. There are ways that you can support us. Obviously, there are lots of shows out there that are listener-sponsored and so forth. I will ask you that if you do not believe that what we're talking about is the real solution, in other words, having the state step forward, asserting their authority, calling out the federal government and bonding together and using the Constitution and the force within the Constitution to make Congress comply. You have to understand the secret is with Congress. Congress are the sovereigns. Our legislators are the sovereigns. And the president has to comply with the law of the land, whatever that is. His job is not to be a monarch and to dictate. His job is to effectively execute the laws, the legal constitutional laws of the land. And unfortunately, we haven't had a good president since Monroe in understanding the limits of the Constitution. I'd even technically say Madison was really the only president that absolutely understood the limitations of the Constitution. And so that's why he was constantly, and some people considered what he was doing constantly as vacillating back and forth of wanting to do something, but knowing he couldn't do it, doing something and then rescinding what he did because he goes, well, I don't have that power. And so if you understand that there are hard limitations, since then we have had presidents that have stepped well outside those boundaries. We have had the Supreme Court living outside those boundaries since 1803. We have had Congress running amok almost since 1792 with the Assumption Act and so forth. They have been trying and they've been beating on the boundaries of the Constitution, and they are at a point where they are so far outside those boundaries that if we do not put them in check, if we do not put them back into those boundaries, we will lose all of our liberty. They will assume all general powers necessary, and they will do what they want to us. So if you want, again, if you want to support the show, then there's one way to do it. If you drink coffee, go to Red State Coffee, or actually go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, click on the link, and go get yourself some Red State Coffee. That purchase will actually help promote, or actually the proceeds will help come to us to help pay for some of our costs. We also have the crowdfunding on GoFundMe. We also have, that's it. I mean, we don't have any other sponsors, so we need you. But what we really also need is we need you to get involved. Putting money aside, this really is not about money other than there are costs. There's cost of being able to travel to pay for getting in front of state legislators and getting in front of state grassroots leaders, getting in front of think tanks and showing them how they need to shift their paradigm back into the framework of the Constitution. Folks, most people don't recognize, only my listeners recognize, that the Constitution is a contract. And the federal government is obligated to live within that contract as it was defined during the ratification debates, period. These aren't my words. These are Madison's words. In a letter he wrote in 1821 to John G. Jackson, I constantly give you the empirical data and the evidence of what is the truth and what is reality. Now, I will also say, I just shot a video last night, just as information. I shot a video last night. And it was something that we kind of rushed into. And as a matter of fact, the reason we've rushed into it, because this is something that has been 2 months in the works and trying to do this response to the John Birch failed attack and trying to discredit what I'm trying to do. So we've actually shot this video. And so I hope to get this thing up. But again, I did not spend a lot of time in trying to create a perfect presentation. I am a raw person. I don't believe and I believe you recognize the polishing and that type of packaging. What I truly rely on is the truth, and I believe and I have full confidence that you will recognize the truth. So with that, we'll be right back after this. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Yeah, I know that there are lots of things that we could be talking about. There are really actually good nuggets out there that are worthy of talking about. And I like to use those as marketing points. But when I get into this phase of trying to give you what... And I know it's kind of like a lecture. I know it's kind of like, but I'm presenting you information that you may have never learned. Now, most of my audience should have learned this before because I've kind of covered these things before. But the fact of the matter is that with all of the different things going on, we have to become focused.
You know, the difference between Trump and the chumps is the fact that Trump was always focused on what he needed to do, what he wanted to do. That's how a person becomes successful, is because they are focused. If we are to be successful, we must be focused. Just like Trump, just like anybody of success, it doesn't really matter. There are plenty of people out there that are successful. The difference is that they are focused on what they need to be doing. They don't care. They don't immerse themselves in the ephemeral things of the day, because these are all temporary, whether it be, you know, the, again, a standoff with cops, whether it be something that's going on political, those are temporary. The things that are permanent are true, are true amendments to the Constitution. That becomes a permanent thing in our life. And when Congress starts to declare that they don't need to follow the Constitution, that can become a very permanent thing in our lives, especially if the states allow it to happen. Because when they allow that to happen, we get farther down this road, and it makes it harder and harder for us to be able to do what we need. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that what we have in the Constitution are the essential tools in getting Congress to comply. You know, within Article 4 of the Constitution, the states have the authority to charge anybody, any citizen of their state, with treason and have them extradited. When you have somebody like John McCain that is deliberately, or any of the Democrats that are deliberately violating, are these socialist, communist, you know, with lamb's coats or what have you, because they're wolves in lamb's coats. And what I'm telling you is that the states could always charge these folks with treason. What they're doing is violating their oath of office in accordance with the 14th Amendment, Section 3, as you know, because we've covered this before, as well as the concepts of treason. When you are engaging in active rebellion against the law of the land, the supreme law of the land, then that is treasonous, my friends. We have the tools. If Congress sets aside and the states allow that document, that parchment of protection that we have, then we're at the brink of losing everything. So I want you to understand that it is critical. It is paramount, of the utmost importance, that you start getting this so that you can get involved. This is all about trying to motivate you to actually take that step and become a leader in your county, become a leader in your community, county, and state, okay? Because that's what we need. We just need people to stand up. You don't have to be anybody that's gone to Harvard with a degree that says, you know, I'm better than everybody else and I can stand up and tell you what to do. We need Americans to stand up and say, this is wrong. You don't have this authority. And telling your state and local leaders, your sovereigns, those who you have voted for and have delegated power to, they need to get this. So, if you want to get involved, send us a letter, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you want to buy some Red State coffee, and you end up buying it by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and clicking on the link for Red State Coffee, then I only ask that you call 425-270-5416 and let us know what you think of the coffee. We want you to be our endorsers of these products that are supporting this show. Because there is nothing stronger than a consumer that says, you know, I've had this coffee, and this is a premium coffee. Anybody and everybody should be drinking this. But don't take my word for it. I want you to take your fellow listeners' words for it. And so with that, let me move on, because we know Constitution Day is just around the corner, right? And so I will probably start next week in looking at what different things are going to be going on, because hopefully these events will start bubbling up. And so I'll try to find something. If you know of something, call us, 425-270-5416. just leave a quick message and say, hey, you know, I live in, you know, Allenstown, Pennsylvania, and we're going to be doing this for Constitution Day, and just wanted to let you know. Be happy. I'd rather have more stuff that I can't cover, but at this point in time, we want to be able to let everybody know. And if your town isn't doing anything, but a neighboring town is, go to that neighboring town and support them and applaud them for actually putting focus on the Constitution. The progressives have successfully marginalized the Constitution and Constitution Day. And that, my friends, is an indictment on our society. Okay? So with that, as you know, there's still no sign in the news that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And that's why I constantly say this to you, that the only way we are going to get back our liberties is by you and I taking a stand. I also want to thank you for tuning in. So please continue to tune in and continue to spread the word. Hey, if you're getting tired of all these distractions that is absolute waste of our time, I'm not trying to marginalize the lives that are being lost. I'm not trying to marginalize what the heck's going on. But if we're going to stop these things, if we're going to stop mass shootings, if we're going to stop these things, we have to start focusing on the real solutions. And the real solutions is taking back our government. Because when people go, oh, well, how can that stop mass shootings? Well, when the federal government controls the education system and is driving a narrative that is debasing and taking away the morals and the mores of our society, then I'm here to tell you that by taking back the government, getting them out of the business of educating us and telling us that we can do anything and they'll have us covered, I'm here to tell you that by taking back the government, we actually can start undoing the damage that they have done to us. I talk about this all the time. Now, yesterday, I had gotten to the point where we were talking about enlightenment and how it was the challenging of the divine rights of kings, because kings believed that they had natural rights. These despots of families, just like the Clintons, the Obamas, they believe they have a natural right to leadership because it's in their DNA, because they're all of the same family, and they're worthy of this. And if you understand enlightenment was the epiphany of mankind realizing that these scum, these parasites that are putting themselves over us and trying to rule us, they don't have the divine right. We have established social contracts, which you understand the Constitution is effectively a social contract. The social contract of the states. We have created positive law and positive governments that recognize our individual rights. It started with the Magna Carta, my friends. And so with the birth of legal rights came with this concept of classical republicanism. The concepts of playing with republicanism way back in the Roman Empire, those were just truly infantile stages of republicanism. Because Caesar seized all the power when he wanted to. And monarchs and these people that believe in their divine right, whether it be a divine right of Christianity or a divine right of paganism, it doesn't matter. It is despotism. And I'm here to tell you that it is contrary. It is the antithesis of the concept of Christianity. Christianity is that all men and women, all human beings are sovereigns, that we have the ability to choose for ourselves what to do and what to be. We created a legal system here in America that protected us of these rights. And these are, I will just call you, these are inalienable rights as they actually were taught by Thomas Jefferson. And this is all within the laws of nature and the laws of God. Natural rights are the converse of that. Natural rights are rights that are assumed by an individual that puts themselves above you. And so I'm hoping you're getting this, that there are these two paths, and both of them are pointing to that exact same scale of liberty. When you have a society that puts all people into the position, and I don't want to say equality, but I'm going to use that term, that we were all created equal with equal opportunities, that the government and our laws do not give an advantage to one over another, but natural rights give advantages to some over others. So I hope you get that. I hope you understand that we were leaving, or at the end of the show yesterday, we were just covering that, and then we got into this concept of the federations and confederations. And so let's move forward, because I think we've done a good job in defining our hybrid constitutional republic, that the fact is it is both a federation and a confederation. You have any questions regarding this stuff, by all means, reach out, let me know, and I'll be happy to either email you or we'll talk. Anyway, let me get going before I get cut off here, so we'll be right back after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So at this point, you should probably be recognizing the fact that we have both a federation and a confederation. Now, if you understand, a federation is still a republic, because you still have independent states. And so the states still possess some powers, but they've given most of the powers. And they've really, in a federation, they've moved themselves into an administrative function. In other words, they're no longer really calling the shots. However, in a confederacy has created a very limited federal government or a general government. So both of these, federation and confederation, have general governments. A federation typically provides general powers to that general government, that central government. And so they can do, just like Caesar and the Senate, they could do practically anything and everything, and they can, at the wave of their hands, remove your sovereignty and take over, because they have these general powers, what they call martial law and so forth. And I had a great conversation with a personality on Patriot Soapbox 24/7, and they're on YouTube, and that channel is growing, and I would recommend you tuning into that if you want to start seeing some of the information that is coming out regarding the behind-the-scenes things that's going on with Trump, like the QAnon drops and so forth. They go into it. That is the world that they focus on. You know, and I don't want to make it seem like this is a conspiracy theory, but there is information, and they're creating these links and ties that QAnon drops this, and then all of a sudden the people have information about something that's happened or something that is about to happen, and it happens. Some things they don't happen or they're not be able to tie to. But anyway, it's a fascinating program. It's a fascinating show. But I was talking to an individual yesterday regarding our confederation and regarding our federation, the general governments and so forth, because in one of my previous shows and or appearances, I was with A. Ralph Epperson, and the show literally focused on this concept that this Congress has general powers. And I pointed to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17, where the Constitution allows Congress to have exclusive legislative powers. Now, to be very clear, and it's probably best that I just read this really quick, it says, so Congress shall have the power, and then to, you know, dot, 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 to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever, comma, over such district not exceeding 10 miles square, as may, comma, by cession of particular states. In other words, these particular states needed to surrender some land to create the seat of government. And Pennsylvania was planning on actually it having that seat of government. But you have to understand the cession. In other words, the states no longer have any authority of that 10 nautical mile square. Now, what ended up happening was they carved out half of Maryland and half of Virginia right there on the Potomac and making and creating Washington, D.C. After a while, Virginia realized that this land became so valuable that they actually took back that land for representation of the people as well as taxing the properties of the land. Now, there's a lot of that land that people are sitting on in Washington, D.C., working on and so forth. It's government land. But there are corporate buildings that have been purchased and they're paying rent. In other words, they're paying taxes to Virginia. Maryland never took that land back. And so I find it interesting how Virginia is not in the financial straps that Maryland is. And I think it would be interesting, and maybe the day will come when Maryland does take that land back. And so every citizen that is living in the District of Columbia that is considered that seat of government, and they no longer secede that, they just allow the government and they don't tax the government within that district. And they can't tax the government anyway, because that was established with Maryland v. McCulloch, that the federal government cannot be taxed by the states. But the fact of the matter is that these folks in D.C. are trying, and they've been making this plea that they should have senators and they should have their own representatives. No, it's very clear. This is exclusive legislation. In other words, the city councilmen, the county commissioners, and the governors are Congress. The Constitution has given them the exclusive legislative authority. So you can't have city councilmen. You can't have a mayor of Washington, D.C., because the Constitution is given, and it says it right here, exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over the such district not exceeding 10 nautical miles square or 10 miles square as may, by secession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislatures of the states, blah, blah, blah. And that's that whole point was this: A. Ralph Epperson and myself and other people were arguing with me that that's not what that says. That says that Congress has exclusive legislation over all things in the Republic. This is very focused on the exclusive legislation of, you know, maintaining the roads and maintaining their power grid, where they're going to buy their power, their infrastructure, those types of things. So if you start looking at the Constitution, we're violating it in so many different ways. But nevertheless, let me get back to this whole concept that the Federation and Confederation are two different birds, but they both have this thing called the general government. A federation has granted exclusive legislative rights to the general government in all cases, practically, for the entire republic. This is the hard evidence right here that they only have exclusive legislation over the District of Columbia. They do not have that exclusive legislation over the rest of the republic. The only legislative authority they have over the rest of the republic are these enumerated powers. In other words, the coining of money, the declaring war and fighting wars, to define punishments for piracies and felonies committed on the high sea and offenses against the laws of nations. They do not have any authority of treason and counterfeiting as well. But they don't have any authority over drugs throughout the republic. They have no legal and criminal authority to create laws over any part of criminal law throughout the republic. That's why when we talked about the J.P. Morgan ship and it being seized off the coast of, you know, some state, that state had jurisdiction over that. Even though it may have been in the internet or in our national waters, it doesn't matter. The drugs and those laws that were being violated are not federal laws or constitutional federal laws. That is tyrannical federal laws, because the federal government has assumed these laws. And this is where a state should step up and say, hey, you don't have the authority over this. There is no jurisdiction in the Constitution that has granted you to be able to create these laws. These are our laws. We have the laws of stopping this type of trade or the sale of illegal drugs and so forth. And so we should be seizing this. We should be going after J.P. Morgan and trying all the players involved in this whole thing. And so going back to this concept of federation and confederation, the states actually are in a form of confederation with very limited roles defined by this Constitution over all things outside the District of Columbia. Okay? So moving on, then I want you to kind of grasp this next one. This is a principle as well as the fundamental meaning of the New American Definition of Republicanism. Because the states are sovereigns. They're sovereign legal entities that have their own laws of crimes and be able to define punishments and so forth. They have their own constitutions that have delegated them power by their people. Here's the problem, though, folks. If you look at the powers that have been delegated in the Constitution, how many of those were truly amendments to the Constitution and not usurpations by the states? So what's happened is there are many things that the state governments are doing that are based on the premise that the federal government has dictated that they do. I want you to take that in. Think about this. Every state has environmental protection standards. Are the environmental protection standards an amendment that the people have delegated that power to the state government? Or is the existence of these environmental protective standards something that was mandated by the federal government that they comply with because they were asserting unconstitutionally this authority to say this is the supreme law of the land when it is not? So this is where we start identifying that the state governments are actually participants in federal tyranny by implementing laws that were not constitutionally granted to the federal government, nor were they constitutionally delegated to their own state governments. This is a mess, but this can easily be fixed now that we put this into context of the contracts. We have state contracts and we have our U.S. constitutional contract. If it's not in the contracts, they have no authority and they can't lean upon the federal government's unconstitutional powers. With that, we'll be right back after this.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so I just flung open a curtain here, and I've talked about this before, but I finally hit a new principle. This new principle, which is a fundamental principle within our system, has been lost. And that's how I stated it in the last segment. And that principle and fundamental doctrine within our Constitutional Republic is American republicanism. What is republicanism? What is a republican form of government? Well, it is a representative form of government. And in context to the representative form of government in every other classical case of republicanism, it is a representative of the people. Now, England, or the UK, or Britain, back during the Revolutionary War, they had a republican form of government, and they had a parliament, and they had a monarch. Technically, the monarch had general powers. There was the Bill of Rights that protected the people from the monarch becoming too despot or despotic. However, if you understand the whole Revolutionary War, because the Bill of Rights was brought forth out of the Glorious Revolution, which was back in the 1800s, or not the 1800s, 1600s, before our Revolutionary War, about 100 years before. And that's when they moved from just the Magna Carta to actually a Bill of Rights in Britain. And so the people were the sovereigns in their republican form of government. They didn't have states, they had colonies, but in Britain proper, they really didn't have states, nor did they want to recognize states. They wanted to maintain the people as the sovereigns because they understood that with the people, they could manipulate. But when you have a multiple-tiered sovereignty, then it's a little bit harder to manipulate, you know, what you want to do as a central or general government. So in our American form of republicanism, it is also a representative government, but it does not recognize the people as the sole sovereigns. We recognize that the sub-elements of government who we delegate sovereignty to actually administer specific functions for us, are sovereigns as well. So in other words, at the smallest scale, if you live in a small town and you have a mayor and a city council, then they are your local sovereigns that you delegate very specific powers so that they can perform the functions of, let's say, public works, your sewage, your water, your electrical, and the infrastructure, the management of the roads, and those types of things. Because the state, you don't want the state government to do all of that. That's why we have a multi-tiered control and or sovereignty within American republicanism. So your community, your city, or if you live out in a non-unincorporated area, who are your sovereigns then if you live out in an unincorporated area? It's your county commissioners, it's your county supervisors, it is your county sovereigns who have the responsibility of making sure the roads are, you know, in decent order, plowed, paved, or what have you, to whatever you have delegated them to. And their hands are tied to those things that are delegated. I'm here to tell you that you never delegated to your local sovereigns the power of environmental protection standards. Those have been trickled down from the despotic, unconstitutional federal government. And that's not the only thing. Education has been another thing. Education has been more of a mandate from the central governments because the states actually used to do this and they kind of left the communities alone. And they have stepped in. Now, there are some states that may have amended their constitution, so they may have constitutional powers over education. The question I have is, do they have constitutional powers over energy? Did you delegate to them the powers of energy? Did you amend your constitution, the powers of housing? Because if you understand, the federal government created this thing called the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And so as they started creating these powers, many of the states just said, okay, the federal government is making us do this. And so this becomes the law of the state because it is mandated. And because every state, I'm going to tell you, if you go look at your state constitution, every state says the constitution is the supreme law of the land. The constitution is the supreme law of the land. Did you get the big picture there? Not the federal government is the supreme law of the land. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So what happens when the federal government has usurped a power and authority that they don't have in the Constitution that should actually be mandated and handled by the states as the people delegate those powers to the state governments? What happens? Well, the federal government usurps it. They tell the states that they need to create programs, policies, and or laws to regulate housing, to comply with federal law. Notice I said federal law, not constitutional law. The federal government has no constitutional authority to do this. And so the states have lost their representation. The states have lost their republicanism, American republicanism has died, and it has been lost in this concept of democracy and the representation of the people. And in doing this, the wool has been very thick blankets of wool that have been pulled over our eyes that we cannot see the light of day. And this takes me back to the power of our education system alone. Because our education system has been teaching us that government has all powers necessary. And we have been indoctrinated into believing that these constitutions, this contractual obligations, these social contracts that we have created and delegated to our different governments is for naught. That this central government is the overarching government of all things, and they can do anything and everything that they want to do. That constitution is a relic. And if they get you to completely believe that, then they'll get you to actually put it away. And that is the danger. That's why they're doing this. Because as soon as they convince enough people to get rid of the constitution, then they are going to try. And here's the problem that they're going to have, my friends. That the most of the people live in just a few of the states. So in other words, it'll be the blue states that will demand that, you know, hey, by vote, popular vote, we got to get rid of the Constitution. Well, hold it. American republicanism has delegated the sovereignty to the states, and only the states can dictate what happens to that contract per Article 7, per Article 5, and per all of our founding documents. But nobody understands that except for you. You absolutely understand. What I've been saying today has been kind of giving me chills, and this is probably one of my better shows. So I hope that you download this show or at least point people to today's show, okay? Because what we're covering is so critical in people understanding how we take back our government. Because if you understand contract law, inherent fundamental power and authority to the sovereigns, that's the people, the counties, and the states, the fundamental sovereigns inherent have the authority to audit and call out those folks who they've delegated powers to say, we never delegated these powers to you. This does not have to be a mass movement of the people. This can be a leadership revolution, just like the American Revolution was a leadership revolution. I point out to people all the time that the majority of the people in the American Revolution didn't care whether we were sovereigns and had a revolutionary war. They didn't like what they were seeing, and as the leaders started explaining to them what they were doing, they got on board. But it was still a minority, but they had more people. I mean, I believe the revolution was fought by maybe 3%, and maybe 7% of the American population was supporting the revolution or actively supporting. And the rest of the people were just sitting on the fence going, okay, yeah, we don't like what Britain's doing, and this seems kind of interesting, but let's see how it pans out. And if you understand all the different events from the Revolutionary War, the political movements and so forth, the divine hand of providence was so prevalent in that point in our history, that when you start reading these things and when you start hearing what the framers are saying, that's why every Thanksgiving Day, I ask you to read George Washington's Proclamation of Thanksgiving that he declared in 1789. I believe it was October in 1789. And he asked the nation to give thanks to our Creator in giving service to him, not in gorging on turkey. These men recognized that they had been blessed by the divine hand of providence. And I'm telling you, that same divine hand of providence knew exactly what we would be facing in these days. And he gave us a system with the appropriate checks and balances, the social contracts, and he even gave us the time as we matured contract law to recognize how to take back our contracts. These people that we hire as subcontractors, and they start becoming the general contractors, they convince us they're in charge. I'm here to tell you they're not in charge, and I'm here to tell you that the states have all the authority to do this, and that's why we're calling for a republic review to be initiated by the states who are the sovereigns over the Constitution. With that, I'm G.R. Mobley. We will cover more of this content tomorrow, and I'm hoping that it'll be in our next episode. I'm hoping it'll be at the same energy level. God bless, and we need your help, by the way. Don't forget that. We need your help.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org.
www.takeactionpodcast.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.